Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I got to tell you, I didn't realize we were on the beginning end of a trend yesterday here on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And we got some winners today. Roy Wood Jr. going to join us, comedian from The Daily Show, Todd McShay, LaChyna Robinson, Marquette King. We got a stacked lineup here today. But Monica McNutt, who has been kind enough to join us, filling in for Chinay Gwumike. She is off conquering the world right now.
Yes, indeed.
Our ESPN Hoops analyst, stopping by with us here. And you heard her dog Hoops in the open there. Monica, did you realize that you were starting a trend? Because later last night, I saw Kendrick Perkins, our guy over there, doing his work with the Celtics TV crew, pulling his dog on camera after it was barking off camera. Do you feel like Perk is biting your swag here? Because it feels like it.
You know, I'm not going to be the originator of animals that don't understand we are now working. This is just a reminder that life is still not normal. We're working from home. And so, super thankful to be working. I honestly, when that came up for the intro, Golic was like, oh my God, is she barking? Like, is that right now?
It is bad because I've got this on the board anytime, Monica.
Because he's someone who is maniacal in terms of making sure that he has all the answers.
We have got the sound clips from yesterday because your dog Hoops was making sure her takes were getting off on air come hell or high water. And Monica, since then, I saw Perk's dog on TV. I saw Mina Kimes' dog Lenny on Highly Questionable earlier today. It feels like you're a pioneer of dogs being heard or being seen right now. So I appreciate it.
Well, I will take that title. I am proud to open up that door.
Listen, it is what we need in the world right here. I'll get to my dog days of summer idea at some point here along the way. At McNutt Monica, at Mike Golic Jr. is where you can get us on Twitter. But right now, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Because Monica, for the first time in what has felt like a long time in the off-season saga surrounding Deshaun Watson and the multiple allegations of sexual impropriety that have grown and have gotten more complicated as the off-season's gone along, we have not heard a great deal from the NFL. We've not heard a great deal from the Houston Texans. That changed earlier today when Houston GM Nick Cazario had a press conference discussing, among other things, the legal process and the timeline surrounding Deshaun Watson, their star quarterback. Here he was earlier today.
I would say I really don't have any comment. I know Cal and ownership put a letter out a few weeks ago just relative to the organizational stance relative to where we are. So I don't have anything to add other than it's a legal process. We're respectful of the legal process and where that is. So we're focused on today. We're focused on getting ready for the offseason program and getting ready for the draft. So that's where our focus is.
Hi, Nick. There are obviously a lot of scenarios that could happen from Deshaun Watson sitting out to Deshaun Watson getting suspended. There could be a trial. How are you planning for those different scenarios, and what are your kind of contingency plans as you look ahead?
Yeah, we're not going to really get into a lot of hypotheticals and a lot of speculation. I'm not really good at that. Maybe somebody else is better than that than me. I mean, if you want to speculate, you should probably go buy Bitcoin and focus on that. So we're just going to focus on the things that we can control, which is kind of getting ready for the draft and trying to take advantage of the opportunities to continue to add to our team and build our roster. And we'll just take it one day at a time and focus on the things that we can control.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And Monica, I'm not going to lie, I can understand most of the things that came with the update right until the poorly timed Bitcoin joke at the end. Like, how did this seem like the moment to workshop your stand-up routine?
It wasn't. Let's just clarify. It was not the moment. You know, in a way, there's some sympathy and grace for the position that Nick Cazario has been put in. And I think you can answer that question without adding a little bit of sarcasm, maybe being a little too flippant, too casual about what is at hand or potentially at stake for your star quarterback. But that felt very much like we've all been in awkward conversations before, and you try to slide in something to lighten up the mood. But unfortunately, that is certainly not the place to give that a whirl.
No, and it just seems like another reminder of the way people have treated the story at times, because it's been a difficult thing for a lot of people to talk about, Monica, because we're at a time where now, thankfully, the victims that bring up these allegations, the women that are involved in all of this, when they speak out, we're seeing more and more people start to say, we need to listen to these voices. We need to listen to the alleged victims in these situations than in the past, but it's still not perfect. And moments like this feel like, all right, are we necessarily treating this with the appropriate severity that we need to, understanding what's going on? And It's got a weird correlation, Monica, with something else that we saw going on in the world of sports. I don't know if you saw this, but I was just looking around my timeline and saw Mina Kimes, our ESPN NFL analyst on Highly Questionable, talking about a new article that came out in The Athletic detailing more of the impropriety, more of the bad workplace culture with the New York Mets and their baseball team. And Sandy Alderson, the Mets' new president, came out and compared the laundry list of misdeeds and the accountability for that to capital punishment, and even said to the reporter from The Athletic, and it was Katie Strang and Brittany Garoli who wrote that article, shouldn't there be a statute of limitation on these kind of things? Articles bringing this up, and it's just, it's kind of a strange, disturbing thing to see, not to compare the two too much, Monica, but across multiple sports and situations that are so severe that have nothing to do with the on-field product that at times it seems like leadership is just doing what they can to brush it aside.
Golic, this stuff is so loaded. There's clearly right and wrong behavior. There's clearly acceptable and unacceptable behavior. And I think I always say this, people want to toss around that sports are a microcosm of society, right? And we say that with the positive side of that coin in mind. But the negative side also applies too, in which if you are wealthy, powerful, and successful, you can skirt on bad behavior. In sports, if you are winning and successful, you can skirt on bad behavior. So, you know, we talked a lot about this idea of a racial reckoning in our country. And I think the same kind of concept applies to some of this behavior that we've too long turned our head to. And I don't mean we by you and I, but just the idea of the collective sports consumer, sports organization, sports leadership. Now is the time to start addressing things. And so do I believe in second chances? Yes. Do I also believe in accountability? 100%. And so I think if these new details, and I haven't had a chance to dive into that article, but if these new details reveal a culture, cultures are not changed by a single person, whether that's good or bad. And so there needs to be a deep dive into whatever's going on into the Mets organization. And no, there is no statute of limitations, because that's what happens, right? The bad apples get to stick around because they massage the right people, because there's just enough winning, because they're doing something that people deem worthy to put up with their bad behavior. And I think the clock has run out on all of that kind of behavior, because that does not move us forward sincerely. And at some point, the other shoe's going to fall, you know, the cat gets out of the bag, because that's just the era that we're living in now.
It is, because there's finally people to hold other people accountable.
Exactly.
And that's the wild part, is you bring up that word, which for both of us, I mean, you played high-level basketball mm-hmm. for a long time. I played on football teams. Like, the core thing you learn day one as an athlete is accountability to your teammates, to your coaches, everyone else. Like, it's this core ethos and this core message of the entire process. And yet when we get to these points, and it always tends to be the business points, there's an accountability that lacks. And, Monica, you and I talked about this so much yesterday. The words that people choose yes. in spots like this, the way that people choose to reference instances like this, saying shouldn't there be a statute of limitations, comparing it to capital punishment, or what we heard from Nick Cassario, interjecting this kind of his attempted humor into a press conference about the allegations we've read and we've documented against Deshaun Watson, like all of it just indicates, like, at least to me, it sends up a red flag of, like, are you taking this as seriously as you need to be in this spot if this is the way you're defaulting to talking about it when you get a chance in public, in front of people that you know have microphones or pens? Like,
that part, Golic, like, the boldness, the audacity. I'm not going to crack this joke in this office where I believe it's however many people in these four walls. I'm going to crack this joke at this press conference. I'm going to tell this reporter who writes for a national publication that I basically think what he or she is inquiring about is ridiculous. The boldness. I mean, that is the problem in terms of people believing that they can escape accountability. And that, on many levels, is very sad. And it requires folks who have a true pulse and compass on the proper ways to lead to start cleaning up house. Like, that's where we are.
Well, Monica, I mean, you've seen it in your backyard out there, the Washington football team, and what's gone on in the last year or so with Jason Wright being named the president of that organization, with Coach Rivera coming over, and what's been saddled on those people and people that come from minority backgrounds. I mean, Jason Wright being a black man,
yep.
Coach Rivera. coming from his background and being shouldered with the task of fixing all this is a difficult thing and a reminder of the challenge and uphill battle this is all going to be. So there's a lot more we can get into on this, and we will. And again, as information becomes available, this is what we just try and do, keep you abreast of what's going on with Deshaun Watson, with the Houston Texans. Is this not a process that's going to be over anytime in the near future? And so everyone involved better get a lot better at discussing and talking about this in the way that it needs to be in these situations. We are Chenangle Jr. We're here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And coming up next, we'll get back to some of the things on the field and on the court of play, because we are getting very close to the return of one of the biggest stars in the NBA. Is this too much too soon or too little too late? We'll figure that out next here. Chenangle Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chenangle Jr., the podcast.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Chenangle Jr. here. Mike Golic Jr., Monica McNutt, our ESPN Hoops analyst, kind enough to give us some time here and hang out today, filling in for Chenea Igwumike. And Monica, there's no like clever way for me to get into this. I just have to read you this sequence on Twitter from a couple of our colleagues okay. and get your response to this. We're going to get Monica's takes from the WNBA draft last night. We talked yes. to Dejounte Carrington on the show. We had a draft that, according to a lot of people's mocks, did not go the way many expected, which is something we're going to get into plenty. We've got AFC and NFC win totals to get through here in a little bit. But Monica, in the spirit of fairness, I want to give two of our colleagues their day in court, because Mel Kiper Jr., our ESPN NFL draft analyst, went on the ESPN Daily. Great podcast. You can check out mm-hmm. wherever you get your podcast, hosted by our very own Pablo Torre. I see this exchange on Twitter earlier today, and it has started some problems. So Pablo Torre is a good host and says, Mel, thank you for letting us invade both your body and your life, which is already kind of a strange tweet, but you know what? Go off. Mel Kiper Jr.'s response is where this got interesting. He said, remember, get the pizza with cheese, then take it off and add the mashed potatoes. Give it a shot. Monica, apparently Mel Kiper Jr. has introduced into the debate today online mashed potato pizza. Fair or foul? Where are you at on this?
I'm going foul, but I do need to give this full disclosure, disclaimer moment. I do not consume dairy.
Okay. All right. Fair.
Okay. So my pizza experience is, shout out to Ann Pizza, because they're like the first mainstream place to have non-dairy cheese options. So my pizza experience is not the average. Now, with that being said, the next question is, mashed potato pizza, please define. Are we talking like mashed potatoes on top of pizza as it exists, or is this another something?
Yeah, no, it is. It's essentially exactly what you just described there. So for everyone not familiar with the Connecticut State area, in New Haven, there is a place called Bar Pizza. It's pretty close to Yale's campus down there, and it serves a pizza that is just what you described. It is bread, it is some little bit of white sauce, and it is mashed potatoes and some cheese in there right on top. And I promise you, there is no more horrifying look than when someone watches you sit down there by yourself after calling a college lacrosse game and eat an entire large mashed potato pizza. It should not happen, but it did, and I gotta say, pretty damn good. Pretty damn good pizza.
Well, this is a safe space, and so no one's judging. I am just... The carb intake on this is wild.
Oh, yeah, it was. Listen, it wasn't my thinnest days.
Okay.
I'll say this.
Okay,
I might have been bulking at that point, but yeah, no, it is definitely worth a shot if you're ever in the Connecticut area and want to.
Okay, wait.
Down to
so,
New Haven.
So this is my last question though on this, and then uh-huh. we can go wherever you feel. Is it the mashed potatoes are soft on top of my pizza?
Yes.
I'm usually not a consistency person. Like, I like a variety of foods, but this sounds like the consistency combo would throw me just a little bit. Because it's like a soggy hot dog. Do you fold the pizza and eat it? Like, how?
Yeah, you can. Like, especially, I was not to brag, but putting down big boy slices, so folding them did help in that spot. But no, don't think of it as like a soggy experience. It's well cooked. It's well done.
Okay.
Yeah, texture-wise, it's going to invite you to a place that you might not necessarily be ready to go, but it's nice once you get there.
I'm going to take your word for it. It's about the journey and not the destination, which is the destination is way too many calories to count, but The journey, enjoy it, Golic. Enjoy it.
We're going to enjoy this journey that Mel Kiper Jr. sent us on here. Janaan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. So in the world of more normal headlines outside of Mel Kiper Jr. and Pablo Torre, we do have word now Anthony Davis cleared to return, start ramping up activity. And while it doesn't sound like he's going to be involved in the next couple of games, Frank Vogel and company definitely seem excited about the progress. Monica, how concerned are you about the timeline for coming down the stretch of this season, heading into the postseason with a guy of Anthony Davis's stature coming off of this injury?
Give me five regular season games in that first round of the playoffs. I'm not concerned. In this particular season, I'm not concerned. I will say that when the conversation comes up about Anthony Davis, I'm a little bit concerned about his macro career timeline because he's a big dude. He's a 7-footer. Don't want to get into what he weighs, but well over 200 pounds, I imagine. And this is a lower body extremity that continues to rear its ugly head. It's more than just a nagging thing. Like, it's something that he has to be incredibly mindful of. So I hope that it doesn't steal any years off of his overall career. But in this particular season, if he can sincerely get healthy, give me five regular season games in that first round playoff.
Yeah, I guess we trust the chemistry that him and LeBron have built up, the time Definitely. Under task there. But you're right, I just keep going back to, and maybe I'm so scarred from very different circumstances surrounding what we saw from Kevin Durant. Because remember, this was a calf strain that had Anthony Davis out that was tied to some tendinosis in that Achilles tendon, which mm-hmm. is very similar to Kevin Durant, who, same height, different body type, because Anthony Davis, as skilled a unicorn as he is a big dude. And we know the history going all the way back to Boogie Cousins and that Achilles of what can happen when a bigger player, an NBA player especially, is trying to come back from that kind of injury. So that's the only thing that worries me a little bit. Now, Frank Vogel said, quote, when it is that he returns, it's not going to be a full return to playing 30-some minutes a night, especially the nature of practice and how shorthanded we are. He's going to have to use some games to get himself back into shape. So the first two games, he's back and will likely be short-minute performances. Monica, as he gets back, if we see enough from him, even before LeBron gets back, are you willing to say the Lakers still probably one of the favorites, if not the favorite, to come out of the West?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A healthy Lakers squad. It's the healthy Lakers squad and everybody else. I do give my caveat to a both healthy mentally and physically Clipper squad, but I'm not ready. I love the new blood. I love the new energy, but I'm not ready to take any of those new teams, Denver, Phoenix, or Utah over the Lakers. Nah, bro.
Yeah.
Can't get me.
Not going to get me yet. Now, there's a whole other debate to have on the other side of this, and we will in a little bit around the MVP race that Monica and I talked about mm-hmm. yesterday. One of the members of that MVP race spoke out and did not mince words. We will get to that in a little bit. But coming up next, we had a draft. We have a whole new host of WNBA stars getting ready to take the court, and it didn't necessarily shake out how anyone had planned. We'll get into Monica's breakdown of this next, and we'll do it after this word from Indeed. Now, if you want to be a connoisseur of case management or a guru of global sales, whoever you're looking to hire, you're going to be able to find them at Indeed. Sponsor a job post, and Indeed's Instant Match is going to search millions of resumes in their database and immediately deliver a list of quality candidates whose resume fits your job description. You can add an Indeed skills test so candidates can show you their skills that go beyond just the resume. No wonder Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Find out where some of the brightest stars of tomorrow landed last night. Next, here, Janaan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janaan Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janaan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Tune into an NL battle tomorrow as the Cubs host the Braves. Coverage begins at 1:45 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Monica McNutt, Mike Golic Jr. here with you guys. Monica trying to manage several dogs all at once right now. Monica, have they taken over the studio?
Listen, they're working on it. So the real quick backstory, just for people listening, my sister dropped her dog off because suddenly she's like into golfing, aka she's dating a guy that's golfing, whatever. And so then mine is very like sort of territorial over this space. So when he comes down the steps, she has to announce that he's coming and bark and the whole bit, and it's a thing. But now they seem to be steady-ish for the time being.
All right, you know what? Listen, we'll wait around and see because, again, dog voices are welcome on this show. This is a dog-friendly space, and so if they feel like getting the takes off, Monica, just give them the mic and let them go. Copy. We want them to know they're welcome here.
Noted. Noted for sure.
All right, we got plenty more dog takes coming up through the course of the show. We've also got Monica's breakdown and takes of what we saw from the WNBA draft last night. there were a couple of very interesting moments, and I know a lot of picks that shocked some people, especially based on the way things were mocked, but do want to give people a bit of news here, courtesy of our own Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN NBA insider. About 5 minutes ago, Utah All-Star guard Donovan Mitchell helped to the locker room with a lower leg injury in Salt Lake City. So something to keep an eye on there. Big star for the Utah Jazz, obviously a team with bright hopes right now. We'll wait and see what happens here with Donovan Mitchell. Hopefully nothing serious, Monica, as we're obviously all still reeling over losing Jamal Murray and what's gone on in Denver for another hopeful Western Conference team.
Agreed, 100%. Definitely. I'm literally holding my breath and hoping that it's not anything serious. This schedule has been so brutal, Golic. And I know I've been one to say play. You know, we've all made sacrifices in this pandemic. But obviously injuries bring it back to the forefront of your mind in terms of the rigmarole and the challenges of this year's schedule.
It's certainly been difficult for a lot of people. We know the second half coming off the All-Star break, there were a lot of teams jamming a ton of games in there. We read you the stats yesterday, playing more games per week at this point than they have at any point in the last couple of years. So lots to pay attention to there. Hopefully with Donovan Mitchell, it doesn't end up being anything serious. But Monica, last night when we were talking, one of the last people we talked to was Dejanay Carrington, former star guard for Baylor, who, like many other young players heading into the WNBA draft last night, found out what their future had in store. Here was some sound on Spain and Fitz here on ESPN Radio from last night with the number one overall pick, Charlie Collier from Texas, talking about the pressure to perform in the tournament, knowing she may have been the number one overall pick.
I don't feel pressure. Definitely no pressure there. I just feel like as a basketball player, you should be expected to perform on any kind of stage. It doesn't matter what kind of stage. I feel like as a basketball player in general, you should just show up and show out in anything that you do. But, you know, I always go into games, you know, wanting to play my best and do my best. And just no pressure. Just got to play how I know how to play and just stay calm and cool and collected.
And she did just that. She looked very calm, cool, and collected as she was picked number one overall in the draft last night. And, Monica, I want to get your reaction to some of what we saw last night because, according to, again, a lot of people who are mocking this and mocking the draft on this, it didn't necessarily go in the way a lot of people expected. What stood out to you?
I think the big standout was Kaiser Godredick out of West Virginia going number four to the Indiana Fever. Now, here's the deal. Before I jump into some of the things that surprised me and some of the things that I even liked that I think may have surprised more people, you got to bear in mind that not only is the WNBA a smaller league, they have a shorter season. There is no summer league. There are no two-way opportunities. And so while some of the names that we know when we think of women's college basketball from some of the marquee programs are very talented, not necessarily be a fit for the teams that are drafting when they're still on the board. And I think people got to really keep that in mind. There's a small, but for the most part, there's not really an incubation. We see your potential. There's a what can you contribute now because the league is so small. It's 12 teams, 12 spots. Like, can you contribute or not? Very rarely do you see rookies get a long window to kind of come along and develop. Now, I'm not asking them to come in and be stars, but you got to be able to fit our system and contribute early. So when I look at someone like Kaiser Godredick, first of all, I'm a huge fan of big guards, and she's a big guard. She is really heady. I've seen her take some big-time game-winning, game-on-the-line type shots under Mike Carey out at West Virginia. I actually thought it was a really smart pick. I will admit, too, for me, Golic, personally, I didn't get into a ton of mocks because I think the way that WNBA coaches, front offices, and scouts look at things is just different from what we see on the collegiate level. So I didn't get into a ton of mocks. So I, outside of Kaiser, and I think Arela Garantes falling the way that she did, I wasn't really overwhelmingly surprised by some of the things that we saw last night, but I really think it was about fit. And I like this selection of Godredick. I think she's got a great game that will translate. She can defend. She can score at all three levels. I kind of was surprised that Ari McDonald went as high as she was because I literally just had a conversation last week with Elena Beard, former defensive player of the year in the WNBA, a champion, and Tisha Pinichero, who's also a champion and now runs her own agency. And we were talking about the volume of shots that Ari has to take to score. Now, for Arizona, it worked. She clearly was 1A, 1B, 1C, and 2, right? She had to have the ball in her hand for that team to be successful, and she had a tremendous run through the NCAA tournament. But I just don't know, can she get that volume of shots as a rookie in Atlanta when they got plenty of folks that have firepower? What I will say, though, is that Ari will strap up from baseline to baseline, and that will always help her find a spot on the floor. And so I think that being her calling card really does her some really good justice. I covered the ACC pretty closely all season. I was surprised that Stephanie Watts went as high as she did at 10 to the Los Angeles Sparks. I actually thought that the pick there would have been Garantes, but things work out. The Sparks come back around, I believe, in round three, I think. Don't quote me. But in one of the later rounds, they actually ended up still getting Garantes. So, and again, unlike other leagues, being drafted is literally just opening the door. These young women have to now go to training camp. There was a flurry of training camp signings in terms of players that weren't even drafted but will have a chance to compete for those spots. So this is the beginning. I think outside of that top five for sure and maybe that first round, you know, everybody's really still scratching and clawing to get a spot on a roster. So I'm excited to see a lot of the foreign names that I'm not familiar with last night. I got to say, Awak Kuair is gorgeous. She should totally be tapped in by one of these model agencies.
I saw your tweet about agencies. That. Absolutely.
Like, she's stunning. She's like high fashion stunning. All the girls are looked great in their outfits with their families. I love the moments we got for sure. But I'm excited. I'm really excited for just the 25th. Season overall, I think there's so much momentum and energy around the W this year.
I think there is. I think that's coming off of the women's tournament and March Madness and all the star power we saw on that. Some of the names that people were looking for in there, we got to talk to one of them in Dejanay Carrington. Her and her teammate Dee Dee Richards both picked in the second round of the draft last night. Garantes, who you mentioned, was the 22nd overall pick, 10th pick in the second round of the draft last night. But you also mentioned the international portion of this draft, and I'd be remiss if we didn't shout out our very own Holly Rowe at Sports Siren on Twitter, going bilingual on him last night with the French. Monica, I had to rewatch that clip like five separate times. I can barely speak enough English to get myself ordered lunch sometimes with my big dumb mouth, and Holly is out here giving it to everyone in two languages.
Golik, I am with you, my guy. Like, I was like, I don't get English right. And it was funny because, you know, we're all in TV, right? And sometimes we do things that are out of our comfort zone to capture the moment. When she first started talking, I was like, did she practice? Like, did she rehearse this? Like, is she just going to say hello, welcome, and congratulations? Nah, sis was flipping back and forth. Like, she kept that thing going.
Holly Rowe, not in fact new to this, but entirely true to all of this.
How you say that in French, Golik? That's like, you got to learn that in French.
Well, you know what? And that's going to take me a lot of time and practice because I don't got whatever switch Holly's got where she can just flip it. I lost that a long time ago. I know enough Spanish to get myself fed and clothed if I am in a foreign country. That is about it. So kudos to Holly Rowe. Kudos to all of the young women that got the start. And as Monica pointed out aptly, it is just a start. You are looking for one of 144 spots in that league trying to make it happen. And that is about as elite of company as you're going to find in any situation. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. All right, we also have some words from the people in Vegas. We got some numbers, I should say, from the people in Vegas. The NFL win totals have come out. Over-under set for every team in the NFL heading into the 2021 season. We'll give you a nice twist on the AFC win totals, and we'll do it next here. Chanae Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., and Monica McNutt here on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chanae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Mike Golic Jr., Monica McNutt hanging out here with everyone today. And Monica, we are getting closer and closer to the NFL draft, but that didn't stop Vegas from already looking ahead towards the upcoming NFL season. Caesars William Hill has released its initial projections for win totals for each team for the upcoming season, and we thought we would try and figure a way out to kind of work through these and see where we're at with all of these. Want to start with some AFC win totals with you, Monica, and we're going to play a modified version of the game of marry, date, or kill in this spot. And so I'm just going to go with stay, hit, or fold in this instance. All right, Monica, okay.
I like that? I like it.
So we got stay, hit, or fold. Stay if you think they're going to get right on the number. Hit if you think they're going to go over. And obviously fold them if you think this team is just going to be, well, freaking dreadful. So we've got the fun music here. Let's get it started, Monica. Let's get it started. We're sticking to AFC. Let's go AFC East. We've got Bills over under 10.5 wins. Dolphins over under 9 wins. Patriots over under 9 wins. and the Jets over under 6 wins. Hit, push, or fold? Who you got here, Monica?
Hit is take it up, right?
Yes, hit is take it up. We're taking it over.
Okay. Woo. Buffalo Bills won 13 last year. I think that this team is on the cusp, but I do think teams are going to be a little bit more prepared for them this year. So I'm going to push on 10.5 for the Bills. I'm going to hit for the Dolphins. I think they give me one more. I think this is the year you give me 10-7. Okay, Miami, Tua. What's my guy down there? I can see his face. Can't call his name. Head coach. Shout out to him.
Brian Flores. There you
go.
I was like,
Brian. There you go. Brian Flores. Let's go. New England. Ooh, got to figure out that whole quarterback situation. But I believe in Cam. I believe in Cam. Give him a full season. Give him no COVID. Give him those 8 guys or whatever the league high was that opted out because of COVID. I'm going to, what's the one where you take less though?
We're going to fold that one down.
Yeah. I'm just going to fold close, but I think I'm going to fold that one.
You know what?
Ooh, can I believe that, Golic?
I can understand that one. Do you think they should take a quarterback in the draft, by the way, New England Patriots?
No. Yeah. What pick do they have?
Ooh. 15.
No, I still believe in Cam.
That's interesting. I think that's been one of the hot topics today. Bill Belichick, happy 69th birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Very nice one, and trying to figure out what to do with that quarterback spot. Monica, I'm going to join you on the hit for the Buffalo Bills. I think that team trending in the right direction and okay. getting to keep their offensive coordinator and Brian Daboll for another year. I am going to push the Miami Dolphins at 9. I think this is a big prove-it year with Tua and that offense. And I am going to fold it up for the Jets, under 6 there. They got too many problems to fix, and whoever's under center, Zach Wilson or otherwise, going to have some trouble. Let's head to the AFC North, Monica. We got hit, push, or fold. The Baltimore Ravens over under 11. The Cincinnati Bengals over under 6.5. The Cleveland Browns over under 10. Or the Pittsburgh Steelers over under 9.
All right,
who we got here?
This is one of our tougher divisions last year, right? You had Steelers won 12, Ravens won 11, Cleveland won 11, and Bengals had 4 in there. All right, so I am real simple. Push on the Ravens. I think that they're consistent, but I don't know if they get over the hump. 11 again. Give me, I'm a push. Wow, 6 is it? No, I'm a push on the Bengals. Let's go, Joe Burrow.
Okay.
You healthy? Let's go. Let's go. I'm going to take the, I'm going to take the under on the Steelers, fold on the Steelers, and I think I'm going to hit on the Browns, too. I actually like whoever predicted this one.
I can say they did a darn good job. You can check out a lot of our great writers doing this on ESPN.com. Monica, I am going to rock with you on this one. I am going to go and hit on the Browns.
Okay.
I think this is a team trending in the right direction, built in the right spots along the offensive and defensive line. We know that Clowney signing, one people are excited about. I am going to push on the Ravens with you. I think it's going to remain to be seen what Lamar Jackson, that passing attack, develop into this year. And I am also folding up on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Tomlin, not in the business of going under 500, and this year is going to provide some complicated math.
Did you give me Bengals? For you?
I left the Bengals out on this one conspicuously. Honestly, I'll go over on the Bengals. I think they make the right choice. They get Joe Burrow some protection. Things are going to trend in a better direction here. Let's get one more in. Rapid fire on the AFC South, Monica. Houston Texans at over under 5. Colts at over under 10. Jacksonville at over under 6. And Tennessee over under 9.5.
Tennessee, I'll take. I like that for a push. I'm folding on both Texans and the Jags. There's just too much going on, and I'm going to take the over on the last one. I'll hit on the last one.
Well, hit on the Colts.
I'll hit on the Colts, yeah.
I'm going to push on the Colts. I'm a little nervous about the quarterback situation with Carson Wentz just coming in year one. They won 11 games last year. There is talent on that roster, but we know defense tends to regress. I'm going to hit over on the Titans, just because that team seems to find a way. They are slowly becoming something that's just going to win 10 games no matter what and then lose in the wild card round more than likely if they keep punting in their own territory. I'm absolutely folding up on the Texans. That's a disaster. And you know what?
Disaster.
I'll push on Jacksonville on this one. I'm feeling froggy in here. So we'll get back to these over-unders, the win totals. We'll round out the AFC and get you some NFC action. But coming up next, the MVP in the NBA has one loud voice inserting himself into the conversation. Is he right? We'll tell you why next here at Chenango Jr. on ESPN Radio.